You're now listening to the Fantasy Filler Podcast, where we put you in the driver's seat every week, all year long. In the NASCAR racing world, from top news stories, latest results, and best fantasy lineups, we'll have you up to speed and out in front before the drop of the green flag. So let's dive in with our host, Vanilla Wafers.
The race weekend at Dover, Delaware was unfortunately plagued with weather all weekend long. However, we were still able to get the Xfinity Series race and the Cup Series race completed. Now, the Cup Series race was done on Monday, but it still provided great racing for the fans who were able to stay and attend and for the people who stayed home and watched the event. We will talk about the biggest takeaways as well as the final results for the Cup Series race that will be covered on today's episode of the Fantasy Filler Podcast. Hopefully you guys were able to at least catch a portion of the race. It is always unfortunate to have a rain delay race. This is why they're trying to get those rain tires in full effect for all the racetracks. Even though a lot of drivers are scared about it, I think more people are just scared about a race being delayed because, let me tell you, it's always the worst thing to happen. And at least the Dover race was very entertaining on Monday. It provided really good racing between three drivers. We will talk about that more in depth. The Xfinity Series race, however, somehow, some way, was able to get done in its time frame without any weather issues. The only problem was I was not able to watch the event. I had some personal things going on. It wasn't anything bad. It was actually a lot of fun, but I just didn't have time to watch the race. However, it would be kind of an injustice not to touch on it just a little bit. First and foremost, congratulations to the winner of the race, the number 19 of Ryan Truex, only running a part-time schedule with Joe Gibbs Racing, but it is his first ever career win in the Xfinity Series. And what a way to do it, because he swept both the stages, led 124 laps, and this is also his hometown track. Now, he almost won this race about 11 years ago. They keep talking about that race and wondering, man, what would have happened if he would have won that event? Well, now it doesn't matter, because now he was able to finally get a victory, and he's kind of shown everyone that, hey, he belongs in the Xfinity Series, and he should get a full-time ride down there in the Xfinity Series. It may not be with Joe Gibbs Racing, but it should still be with decent equipment, and hopefully, just maybe, we will see him running full-time in 2024. But he had himself such a stellar race. The only people really that were able to compete with him was Richard Childress Racing's number 21 of Austin Hill and the number 2 of Sheldon Creed. Sheldon Creed, once again, having another good race, unfortunately made contact with Ryan Truex's teammate, Sammy Smith. I don't know if you really blame anyone in particular for that incident, because from what I saw on the highlights, it looked like it was just some really close racing and Sheldon Creed got the worst end of the stick on there. He was still able to come back and finish 11th, and for him not to get any damage from that incident was a blessing in disguise. But still, once again, Sheldon Creed, another good race car, just bad luck, and unfortunately not able to seal the deal. There were some drivers who struggled in this race, a lot of them kind of the mid-tier drivers that are trying to make it into the playoffs. Anthony Alfredo, for like the fourth week in a row, has ran into some problems. He went from a potential sneaky person to make it into the playoffs to now his chances are slim to nil unless he gets a victory. The team is just having a lot of bad luck right now. Whether it's their own bad luck or being caught up in someone else's mess, they've just not been able to execute good finishes that they deserve. And unfortunately, the momentum is gone with the team. You know when a team has lost their momentum, and this right here is an absolute killer, having this many bad races in a row. It's a bummer for them. Some other drivers who struggled was Parker Kligerman. He got taken out by Corey Heim, who was making his debut here in the Xfinity Series, and it was a pretty bad wreck to look at, not due to the fact that it was like, that wreck looked like it hurt. It was just more of a, man, Corey Heim just got into his quarter panel and never lifted and took out that 48 car, who started out on the pole. It looked like he was going to have himself a stellar race, but getting taken out of lap number 62, you can't score any points there, so that was a devastating blow to the 48 team. Corey Heim, who was a part of that mix, he suffered engine problems and finished 35th. Overall, from what I've seen as far as the highlights went, it was mostly a one-car dominant race, which was Ryan Truex with a little bit of Richard Childress Racing showing their nose in it. So let's just do the top 10 real quickly. Ryan Truex won. Josh Berry was able to finish second. In the third spot was Justin Allgaier. Fourth, Austin Hill in the number 21. John Hunter Nemechek in the number 20. Sammy Smith in number 18. Cole Custer in the double zero in seventh. In eighth place was the number 9 of Brandon Jones. Ninth, the number 1 of Sam Mayer. And rounding up the top 10 was the number 11 of Daniel Hemric. Here's what the Xfinity Series standings looks right now after 10 races here in the 2023 season. We will first start off with the drivers locked in with victories. Austin Hill with 3 wins, John Hunter Nemechek with 2 wins, Chandler Smith with 1, Sammy Smith with 1, and Jeb Burnham, number 27. Those are the 5 drivers locked in with wins at this time. Here are the drivers ahead of the cut line. The number 8 of Josh Berry, the number 7 of Justin Allgaier, the double zero of Cole Custer, the number 2 of Sheldon Creed, the number 98 of Riley Herbst are all a race or more ahead of the cut line. And then the ones right on the bubble but still in are Daniel Hemric with 26 points above the cut line. And the number 1 is Sam Mayer, who is only 9 points above the cut line. And the 4 on the outside looking in, we got Brandon Jones, who's 9 points behind. Parker Kligerman with that bad race at Dover unfortunately puts him now 19 points below the cut line in 14th. Then you got Ryan Segan, the number 39, 37 points behind. And then 16th is the number 25 of Brett Moffitt. But let's move on to the race that was delayed, but it's still the most important race of the weekend. It's the 11th race of the 2023 season for the Cup Series. It is now time to dive into the Worth 400 at Dover Motor Speedway. I like how I said I was going to hardly talk about the Xfinity Series race, and I was able to spread that out for 5 minutes. But at least I was able to get the meat and potatoes of that race, so I think that's the most important thing. However, for this race here in the Cup Series, the 11th race of the season, I was able to watch the entire race, except for the one part I went and showered, and that's when there was an accident in it involving Ross Chastain, Kyle Larson, and Brandon Poole. We'll talk about that in a second, but I was really upset that I missed that. So in this race, we had a total of 36 cars on the entry list, all of them the charter cars, no non-charter cars entered into this race. 7 cautions for 46 laps, 19 lead changes amongst 8 different drivers. But to be honest with you, it was really down to 3 drivers. And in the end, though, how about a brother sweep? Yep, Ryan Truex gets his first victory in the Xfinity Series, while Martin Truex Jr., after 54 or 56 races, it's one of those two, was able to break his drought and get his first victory in the Next Gen Machine and his first victory at a points-paying race since 2021. And what better racetrack to do it than at the track where you got your first victory? Oh, and by the way, it is also his home track. Just what a job by Martin Truex Jr. Absolutely stellar job. Able to lead 68 laps in this race. Led the third most laps, believe it or not. The other two were Ross Chastain and William Byron. And I'm not going to lie, I thought the Chevrolets had this race in the bag. I did not expect the Toyotas to really run this well. I thought it was going to be a challenge for them. And at first, it did look like that. It looked like the people who were going to be dominating it were the Chevrolets, with Ryan Blaney hanging out in the third spot. And in the end, it definitely was Martin Truex Jr. who was able to get the advantage over the two. And Denny Hamlin, as well as Christopher Bell at one point, looked to be factors in this race. So overall, really good performance by the Toyotas. But really, we could just focus on these three drivers here. Martin Truex Jr., Ross Chastain, and William Byron put on one hell of a show for us. If it wasn't for these three drivers, this race would have been an absolute snooze fest. But at the beginning of the race, it was all William Byron, who's having himself a career year. Just really good cars almost at every single race that he's been a part of, except for a couple of them. But even then, those are kind of like some outlier races. Like the Bristol Dirt Race, I really don't want to count that one as an average race because it's the most unique race of the schedule. Some of the super speedway races, he hasn't really been that dominant. But then again, those are more wild card races. Mostly the racetracks where they're very consistent, the mile and a half, the 1 mile, that's where they have been dominant. And once again, after leading 193 laps, it was unfortunate that his car fell off there near the end. But for him to be able to finish in the top 5, once again, he definitely had a great performance here in this race. And Ross Chastain is starting to get that momentum once again. I don't think it's at the same level as what we saw last year. He's still having quite a few races here and there where he has a really dominant performance. He also, in this race, was able to piss off two teams. Those two teams being the number 15 of Brandon Poole for Rick Ware Racing and the number 5 of Kyle Larson. As you guys are probably seeing already on social media, all the memes popping up. Thanks, Ross Chastain. Ross Chastain's the most aggressive driver. He did it once again here in this race on, I do believe it was like lap number 82 is what it was. He was running with Kyle Larson, who both of them were running inside the top 10. Kyle Larson was starting to get a lot of momentum since this is a track that he's really good at. And Brandon Poole was in the process of going another lap down. Well, for some reason, Ross Chastain on the front straightaway makes heavy contact with him on the back bumper, wrecks him, and the number 15 car goes back up the racetrack and takes out Kyle Larson, ending both Kyle Larson's day as well as Brandon Poole's day. Now, this is a bummer for both teams because, one, Brandon Poole, this is his first time back in a Cup Series car since, I think, 2020 or 2021. It's been quite a while. And for him to get this opportunity, it's big. And for someone to take you out in a race, it was 100% not his fault. He held his line. People could argue, well, he was holding up people. What else was he supposed to do? He was right there on the inside lane, giving the outside straightaway to Kyle Larson and Ross Chastain. There was nothing else he could do. And he gets taken out in this race, destroys the number 15 car for a team that is a small budgeted team. So they're obviously going to be very upset. And he was in his interview. He made it clear that he was upset, and rightfully so. But Kyle Larson was very upset too. The fact that he was able to finish the race was quite impressive. But he has had a good car in almost every single race as well. Probably even better than William Byron. But he's had no luck. And this is a perfect example of that. Caught up in someone else's mess, ruins his day, and he gets a little bit of revenge there near the end of the race, blocks Ross Chastain from passing him there near the end, which inevitably takes away his opportunity to make a pass on Martin Truex Jr. But it still doesn't heal the situation because Kyle Larson definitely had a car that could win the race. So what does this mean now for all the Ross Chastain fans? What does this mean for Kyle Larson fans? Well, it looks like Kyle Larson's been bouncing back. It looks like this team is just going to be dominant throughout the entire season. They just got to finish races. They'll be contenders in a lot more races, and more than likely they're going to get a lot more victories before the regular season is over. For Ross Chastain, you just create another enemy. Nobody is buying your apologies anymore. If you get caught up in one incident, maybe two incidents, or hell, even three incidents, people will forgive you. But when it's almost a weekly situation, you just get tired of hearing "I'm sorry" or "I didn't mean to." Because at that point, it's just like, well, you've done this many times before, so you knew what was going to happen. So why did you even put yourself in that spot to begin with? It's just a bad argument. And he's basically been saying the same thing over and over. And he's already pissed off Denny Hamlin. He's pissed off Denny Hamlin multiple times. He's pissed off Martin Truex Jr., past champion. He's pissed off Kyle Larson. He's pissed off Kyle Busch. He's pissed off Joey Logano. He's pissed off everybody at this point. So he basically has his target on his back. Oh, and he pissed off Chase Elliott in the Championship 4 race. How could I forget that? It's just not a good situation for him. Now, I like Ross Chastain. Ross Chastain, his story is a great story. He's always been an aggressive driver. But at some point, you're just like, man, you're just due to get spun out. At some point, you're just like almost wishing that, yep, someone give him a taste of his own medicine. Because that's what he needs right now. It's almost like a Dale Earnhardt situation. That's how aggressive he has been throughout his entire career. And now it's starting to get to its worst point. We're going to see what happens here at Kansas, but I bet you nobody is going to be racing Ross Chastain friendly anymore because he's at this point proved that doesn't matter what equipment he's in, that's just how he's going to race, and you can't really defend him anymore for those types of moves. Either way, though, he was still able to finish second in this race. It was a good pit strategy for them to take four tires. Almost worked to their advantage. I'd say if they had probably five more laps, they were going to be able to make that pass, get their first win of the season, but still a second place finish, and showing everyone that they are currently the most consistent team. Some other teams did really good in this race that we should point out real quick. RFK Racing, both of them able to finish in the top 10 once again. I had a good feeling about Chris Buescher, Brad Keselowski, I think I was a little bit hesitant on. However, at the same time, I should have told myself, man, you got to keep remembering these guys have been pretty close to each other this entire season. So if one of them's going to be doing good, then that other one's not going to be that far behind. And they finished 1-2. So I'm like, whoops, of course they did. Another team that did really good here in this race was the number 48 of Josh Berry, being a substitute driver. Always a big shout out when a substitute driver is able to finish inside the top 10, and he was able to do that as well as lead three laps. So good job for Josh Berry. Definitely has been a great substitute driver, and he is showing everyone that he deserves a full-time ride in the Cup Series, which is just absolutely great. Seeing this driver who is in the pro late models, and just running so dominant down there. Dale Jr. gave him an opportunity, and one of his cars ran part-time, was able to score a victory, now running full-time, being a championship contender. Now there's a chance that next year he's driving in a Cup Series car. Whoever that team might be, that is still up for debate, but man, just great job for Josh Berry. What a great opportunity for him, and he's definitely making the most of it. And one quick last shout-out to the number 7 of Corey LaJoie with Spire Motorsports. This team has been doing really well at these types of racetracks. We keep talking about, you know, the William Byron, the Kyle Larson, those drivers here at these types of tracks, the intermediate tracks, how well they're running. Well, look at Corey LaJoie. This is another intermediate racetrack where they have finished inside the top 15. And many people would probably think, well, that's not a victory. That's not even a top 10 finish. Why are you so happy about that? It is because Corey LaJoie in that number 7 car is usually at best a top 30 car in the last few years. Like, their goal was always to finish maybe 30th. Now they're finishing inside the top 15. That is leaps and bounds what we expected from this team. So great job for them to get another solid finish. That's exactly what this team needs. And man, just another top 15 finish. It's so cool to see these lower budgeted teams running this well. Yeah, we talk about Front Row Motorsports, Colic Racing, Wood Brothers, some of them saying, hey, they got a good finish here, there, JTG Daughtry Racing. But Spire Motorsports is definitely below them on the budget range, and they are finishing above them in more races than not. Now, as great as some of these drivers did, there were some drivers who absolutely did atrocious in this race. One of them being the number 22 of Joey Logano. Hands down, probably had the worst race out of everyone in our fantasy picks because they were never there to begin with. And once again, I said this, that maybe he could be a risky factor. I did not want to believe it. I even kept saying, man, like, man, I don't know if this is a good idea. But, man, my worries were true. They are definitely suffering a championship hangover. And thank goodness they got that win, because right now, nothing shows them of being contenders at all here this season. And this was a perfect example of a race where we expected them to do decent, but man, they just did atrocious. Just flat tires all day, running into problems, no speed at all, and then they just wreck it out at the end. They just got rid of that car, and it's more like a good riddance kind of thing. So Joey Logano did not pay out well for us. Another one who didn't pay out well at all was the number 8 of Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch started out on the pole, and I expected him to do good in this race. Then he got caught up in a speeding penalty and never able to recover, ever. Like, once he got that speeding penalty, it was over, because there was an accident that happened right in front of him where he made contact with both the number 77 of Ty Dillon as well as the number 78 of BJ McLeod, it looked like. BJ McLeod did not suffer that much damage. He was still able to get going. He did finish multiple laps down, but at least he wasn't out of the race. Ty Dillon, on the other hand, suffered heavy damage, and thank goodness they have that new crush panel on there, because that would have been definitely a much harder hit from last year. But either way, this ruined Kyle Busch's opportunity to run back up front. It was just a terrible race, and just proves to everyone, you don't want to be speeding this year. This car is so hard to recover from that, and that's a perfect example of it. You're running up front in the race. You're doing really well. Then you get that speeding penalty. Whoop, game over. Game over. He was never able to recover. He finished this race 3 laps down, 21st position. Yeah, he was trying to do pit strategies here and there, but he had to have a lot of stuff go his way if that was going to be able to pay off. And unfortunately for people who put him on their fantasy rosters, like myself, it did not pay out well at all. Let's look at some other drivers who let us down. Daniel Suarez, we talked about him being involved in that same accident, and it was a shame because he was starting to slowly but surely make his move up to the front. Granted, it was still very early in the race, and then he made that contact with the wall right when we saw him make that contact. It's like, yep, game over. You can't recover from that, especially with these cars. And then Justin Haley. I thought Justin Haley was going to be a top 15 car. In fact, I threw him as the driver that I was going to pick for in this race for those one-pick fantasy leagues where you can only pick a driver one time throughout the entire year. And that's what I got. I got a 23rd place finish out of it. So 14 points, not a good call on my end. And it just didn't work out well for them. Overall, it was a decent race. I wouldn't say it's the best race of the season. I'm very glad that we had three cars competing against up front. We don't need a chunk of cars to be running up on front. If you just have two or three cars just competing, you can put on a really good event. And that's what we got in this race. Martin Truex Jr., Ross Chastain, William Byron duking it out while everyone else was just there. In the end, only 12 cars finished on the lead lap. And if you look at those stats, you're just like, man, that's a pretty crappy race. But honestly, it was very, very fun to watch. And also a quick shout out to Ryan Blaney, also to finish third in both the stages as well as third in the race. Just a very consistent run. Hey, he just proved to everyone that he can execute a race. Now, hopefully he can execute a race where he's the most dominant driver. We shall see that here in the future. But fun race for these guys as far as remembrance goes. I know for a lot of people it's going to be down low on the totem pole just because it was a Monday race. If you're able to watch the highlights, hopefully they show a lot of this battle because it was really fun to watch them race and make the pit strategies. Because I know some people don't like pit strategies that much, but this one was really fun because you just had to see if someone was going to go down pit road early. Sometimes that would work. Sometimes staying out longer worked. Sometimes two tires worked. Sometimes two tires was the worst decision ever. Either way, though, it was hopefully in the highlights. They do show that if you decide to watch the highlights online, because trust me, that three-way battle was absolutely great to watch. I'm going to put it at the top half of this season, and I'm going to give this race a solid 8 out of 10. For a Dover race, it was a lot of fun, and congratulations to Martin Truex Jr. finally able to get a win here in the next-gen machine. That will conclude the final results for today's episode. Guys, thank you so much for listening. As far as our fantasy league went, we had 10 teams that were able to score 200 plus points. Great job to you guys. I know last week it was really tough, especially with it being Talladega, but you guys really did bounce back here this weekend. Here was the top three from this race at Dover. In the third spot, we had Ryan underscore T with 229 points. Redhead 69 was able to finish second with 239. And in first place, this is a pretty interesting name here, CPN Jig West with 243 points. Congratulations to you guys. You guys were the top three. Here was the perfect fantasy team for this weekend. The one who did the best was the number 24 of William Byron with 52. Ross Chastain in second with 51 points. Ryan Blaney with 50. And then you had the winner, Martin Truex Jr. with 49. And then in the final two spots with 47 points was Denny Hamlin with 47 and Chris Buescher with 37. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so on Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok. Just look up Vanilla Wafers and I will pop up every single way. And on YouTube, I'm getting ready to post another video about talking about the biggest injuries in NASCAR and what they led to in future events. Some interesting stories there. I don't think it's going to be nearly as many drivers as the first one because I really want to go in depth on the incidents that happened there because they're pretty big incidents in the sport that recently happened. And then on TikTok, I'm going to be doing daily NASCAR videos, you know, guess the NASCAR driver, NASCAR therapy, and trying to find the Mario Andretti card. Those series still continue on forward. And then Twitter, if you want to talk to me during race day or you want to ask questions about the race, just hit me up there and I will respond as quickly as I can. Next episode will be on Saturday as we will be talking about our fantasy picks for the Kansas race. We will have one special guest, Dalton Good 8. If you've heard of him, you probably heard him on Twitter as he is a big Kyle Busch fan. So that will be a lot of fun to talk to him about that, especially since this is a track that Kyle Busch has done well at in the past. So we'll see if he bets his left nut or his right nut, or maybe hit both his nuts in that race for Kyle Busch. We shall see. But we're going to wrap up the episode there, guys. I have been your host, Vanilla Wafers, and I have been able to lead you to the front of the field. So why don't we grab that checkered flag, do some burnouts, and head on out. So you all take care. This has been the Fantasy Filler Podcast.